KYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, once again for the precious opportunity that you would summon us, Lord, into your very presence, my Father God, so that we could sit at the King's table and eat the King's food, Father. And your food, Lord, is the bread of life. It's your word, my Father. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hands. And we ask, Lord, that you would come, Father, right now, and just through these lips of clay, through our lips of clay, that you would minister to us, my Father God. Your will, your desire, your intent, and your purpose for the creation of the earth and mankind, Father. So once again, Father, here we are, Lord, doing just like what you asked us to do. You said that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What an awful invitation, my Father, to just come all the way through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the radio broadcast, through our church service, through our rituals and our traditions and everything else, Father, past the holy place, all the way into the holiest of holies. Hallelujah, that place, your very presence, my Father God. Knowing that even though our sins are like scarlet, you have washed us white as snow. Even though we still have sin in our life and shortcomings in our lives, Father, you have declared us righteousness. For you said in your word, he who knew no sin, your son Jesus Christ, you made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Therefore, Father, that gives us the right, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, to take you up on the invitation and to come all the way into your very presence. So, Father, here's our cup. Here's our life, Father. Here's our every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. Here's our cup, Father. Fill us up and quench this thirstiness in our hearts and our souls, my Father God. And that's, Lord, to serve you much better than we do, to obey you much more than we do, to love you much more than we do, Father, to honor you much more than we do, Lord, to fulfill your purpose and your destiny and your plan and your desire for our lives, Father. So here's our cup, Father. Fill us up and quench this thirstiness in our soul. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. And Father, as always, we're careful to give you the praise, the honor, the thanksgiving. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God out there in radio land. Once again, what an honor and what a privilege it is, not just for me to go into the presence of the Lord and share with you the bread of life, but to go into the presence of the Lord with all of you out there in radio land. It's under the sound of my voice, hallelujah. That is not just for one. God wants us all to come into his very presence. God wants us all to feast at the king's table. God wants us all to have personal relationships with him. God wants us all to not just hear what the men and women of God say, hallelujah, but to hear what you say about what we as men and women of God say, Lord. So what we will say, Father, is your instructions, your word, my Father. But what the Holy Spirit will say through the word that you put in our hearts will bring revelation, transformation, renewing, and then I'm talking about fulfillment of your purpose for our lives. That's the purpose for this radio broadcast, you know, family of God out there. You know, and that's for us to develop in our relationship with God. Thank God for the corporate relationship, for us being able to go corporately into the presence of the Lord. But there's something even greater than that. And that's more to take that up individually. To know that we not only are we going corporately, but individually too. It's very important for you to understand that, you know. It's very important for us to get an understanding of the power of understanding. Glory to God. Because for therein is the secret to the fulfillment of life that we have here upon this earth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. In Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, and 119, verse 104, it says this. It says, Lord, I delight in your ways, in your word, my Father, and through your precepts we gain understanding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's very, very important, you know. What is that, man? What is the key to understanding? That's, man, coming to the knowledge of the original intent and purpose and reason and that God created us and why he put us here on the earth. I call it the big picture, understanding our destiny, you know. And when we learn that, you know, and what our personal intentions are, our original intentions are, then we'll have, man, good understanding. Why? Because we'll have precepts. Precepts is the original idea in the mind of the creator or the maker of a thing. His original idea, the thought, man, and the idea that was even before it was articulated, spoken. You know, the Bible calls it precepts. And when we can accept those God's precepts, come to the knowledge of it and accept it, then they become concepts. You know, when precepts are conceived in the mind and accepted in the mind, then we begin to get then thoughts. Thoughts is like pictured ideas, you know, what's in our mind, even before we speak or anything else, you know. That's our concepts. You know, and all of us have concepts. All of us have ideas. All of us have our own mind, our own will, our own destiny, our own purpose, and everything else. But for you to really understand what your relationship and what your life in Christ is really all about, I mean, the understanding of it, it is very important, man, that we know what God's precepts are. What was his original intent for the creation of the heaven that he lived in, the creation of the universe that he created, and the creation for the earth that he created that's in this universe, and the purpose and intent why he created mankind and put mankind on this earth with a divine purpose, mandate, and assignment. You know, and if you want a man to reach the fullness of life and the full potential that we have in life, then it's very, 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 I'm going to say that again because it bears, man, emphasis on it. It's very important that, man, we understand the precepts of God, what God is doing, his original intent, his original plan, his original purpose that he has for all of our lives. And you hear me say this a lot on the radio broadcast, you know, and I always refer to a whole lot, you know, the first two chapters in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And if you really want to know what the original precepts of God is, that's where that's found at, in those two chapters. I don't think I'll be stretching it if I say that's perhaps the most important two chapters in the whole Bible. There are two other chapters in the Bible, you know, and that's in the book of Revelation. That's the last two chapters in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. Now, the first two chapters in the Bible, I say it again, is Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In those two chapters is God's original intent, idea, purpose, desire, and will for the creation of the earth and for him putting mankind, that's all of us, on this earth. That's the original man intent in those two chapters right there. In the last two chapters of our Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22, it's the consummation of that, the fulfillment of that. When it's all said and done, and when everything man comes to his final destination, then man, that's the fulfillment of what God, man, idea and plan and purpose for our life was that he stated and that he spoke in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, man, God spoke. And when God, I'm talking about, it's not the prophets, it's not, man, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, none of those guys, you know, Moses, Abraham, David, none of those things, you know, in chapter 1 and 2. Why? Because in chapter 1 and 2, those guys and those things, you know, were not even created yet. Now, I like to call that, man, you know, the history of God. In the Old Covenant, we have the history of mankind, even the men and women of God, you know, and how God was dealing with them in that dispensation or in that period of time in the history of mankind. That's how God was dealing with them. But boy, I'm talking about before it was a them, before it was mankind and everything else, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God was revealing his original intent and his original purpose and his original reason, you know. I like to call it the big picture. You know, I say all the time on here, if you go to the store and buy a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you and I take and buy that puzzle, and then I take the top of the box that the 1,000 pieces are in, if I take the top of that off of there and give you, you know, the box with all 1,000 pieces of it, you have, you know, everything that you need to put the puzzle together. But in reality, you really don't know what it is. You really don't know the finished product. You really don't know what it is. Why? Because the original intent and purpose and desire of those 1,000 pieces, man, that's found on the top of the box. Normally, most puzzles, you know, they'll put on there on the box. They'll put a picture of what the puzzle looks like once you put it all together. So in essence, what they do is show us the end. Even before we begin, you know, I'm going to say it again. That's not in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 46. God said, just fix this in your heart and fix this in your mind. I'm God, and there's none like me in all the earth. In fact, I'll show you how there's none like me in all the earth. I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel is going to stand. Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, I'm going to show you the end in the beginning. And that's what he did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He showed us the end in the very beginning of what we call the Bible. And in those last two chapters, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, he showed us, boy, the finished product. Glory to God. Because in between, in our Bibles, in between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22, in between those two things, in between those two chapters, in the beginning of the book and at the end of the book is that 1,000 pieces that's in that puzzle. You know, all that's the 1,000 pieces, if I could use that, you know, analysis. That's the 1,000 pieces that's in the box. But if you don't get an idea or the big picture of, man, what that puzzle is like, once you put it all together, then all you'll be doing is just putting things together, not even knowing, man, really what you're putting together. You're putting it together, and you have the capacity and the capability to put it together, but you don't know the end. You don't know, man, what it's going to look like, man, once you finish. Why? Because you don't know the precept. You don't know the original intent for those 1,000 pieces. And in those original intent for those 1,000 pieces, that's the big picture, you know. And let me just say this while I'm here, give you this analogy. Before them 1,000 pieces that's in that box became 1,000 pieces, it originally was the picture that's on the top of the box. It didn't come in 1,000 pieces. It was made one big picture. It was one big picture on a poster. And then they put it on a machine, and the machine cut it into 1,000 pieces. And then they put it in a box, and then they said to you, and say, here, put this together, you know. Now, I say that to say this. If you had the box with 1,000 pieces in it, like we do, we got the Bible with all the verses in it, all the chapters in it, all the verses, all the stories of mankind and what God was doing there. But if you don't know the big picture, if you don't know what it looked like once it's all put together, then all you'll be doing is just putting pieces together. And sometimes when you put pieces together, you come up with concepts. That's picture people. You can then say, well, this is going to be this, or this looks like it's going to be this, or this looks like what the end going to be. And you have your own concepts, you know, of what this puzzle is once it's all put together. And the only reason why you just have concepts, because you didn't see the picture that was on the top of the box. You hadn't discovered that yet, you know. Because what's on the top of the box, I say it again, that's the picture of the 1,000 pieces of the puzzle put together. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's the top of the box. That's the whole thing laid out right there, plain for us to see. And then, man, he started in Genesis chapter 3 all the way through, man, Revelation chapter 20. Again, is all those 1,000 pieces. Why are you telling us this, Brother Arthur? And so that, man, you know, you can, man, have an understanding of the Word of God, you know, and understanding what the purpose and intent and reason that God has for the creation of the earth and the creation of you, mankind, and putting us on this earth. And listen, if I were to show you if I just gave you the 1,000 pieces, and you don't know what it is once it's put together, all you have is just all them 1,000 pieces. But if I were to turn around and say, here's the top of the box, and then you see what the puzzle is like once it's all put together, then, man, you know, you got purpose and direction. You understand, man, what the finished product is, even before you start. That's what God meant in Isaiah chapter 46. I show you the end from the beginning. Same thing they do with the puzzle. They show you the end on the top of the box, even before you open it, even before you take the top off. They show you the end from the beginning. They show you what is originally intent and plan and purpose once all these 1,000 pieces put together. That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's the big picture. Now, if you saw the top of that box, let me just read something to you, about this, the top of the box. It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It said this, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Watch this. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Watch this. So God created man in his image. In his image, God created him. Male and female, he created them. And watch this right here. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yieldeth seed. And to you shall it be for food. Listen, I'm going to say that again. God said, let's create man in our image and our likeness. That means man just like God, just like him. Same character, same nature, same functioning ability, same life, same image, just like God. What? Just like God. And then, man, he say, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 3, it said this, and God said, let me just turn there so I can read it directly. Watch this. Then God said, well, let me just start this in this way. In the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth became void and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. So, boy, in those first part of Genesis chapter 1, it ain't but one voice in the earth. That's God speaking. That's not Isaiah. That's not Jeremiah. There's none of the Old Testament characters, none of the New Testament characters. It's only one voice, and that's the voice of God. And what he's doing then is then decreeing and declaring then what he wants on the earth. He expressing his precepts, what his original idea, his original intent. Now, his original idea and his original intent is before Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because it was in the mind of God. That's what a precept is, an idea, an original idea, an original thought, original desire, original purpose, or original reason for the existence of a thing. That's his precepts. That's his original idea, you know. And like I say, ain't nobody talking in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, but God himself. What he doing? He's establishing, boy, his will and his desire for mankind and the earth in those verses. And then in Genesis, those ideas and intents that he had, then he began to articulate it. You know, he began to speak it. It became a word. A word is a spoken idea, a spoken intent, and a spoken reason. You know, that was in his mind, his ideas, and everything that which he was thinking. And the only way it can begin to be known is when, man, you know, you begin to speak it. So what God uses is the media of words to establish and make known what's in his mind, what his will is. Because as long as it's in his mind and in his will and the idea, it's still a word, but it's a silent word. And the only way that word can be made known to you, like I say, if I'm taking a thought right now, then you don't know what I'm thinking. You know, the only one who know what I'm thinking is the spirit of man, me. I know what I'm thinking, but the only way I can communicate my thoughts to you, then I got to speak it. But the way God, man, communicate his original concept or precept, man, then he got to go through the media of words. So God began to speak. And God said in Genesis verse chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, verse 9, and God said, verse 11, and God said in verse 14, and God said in verse 21 and 20, and God said in verse 24, and God said in chapter 1, verse 26, and what he said in chapter 1, verse 26 was his intent, his desire, his original idea for the creation of the earth and you and I. What he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have man dominion, power, control, influence, authority, what, over all the earth and everything that I made from the earth. Remember when he said that over the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth? Well, all those things that he mentioned there, man, is things that he made from the earth. Right? This is something that I think we need to come to the knowledge and understand too, you know. Hey, listen, man, whatever God wants, he speaks what he wants. And he speaks what he wants to what he wants it made from. And whatever he speaks, that which he wants to what he wants it made from, then what he wants comes from what he wants it made from, exactly what he said. So he said, man, let the earth bring forth the fish. Let the earth bring forth every living creature. Let the earth bring forth this, and let the earth bring forth that. So them birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the trees and the land and the vegetation and everything else, all that comes from the earth. Why? Because God spoke what he wanted to what he wanted it made from. For instance, you know, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs that yielded seed and fruit trees and yielded fruit according to his kind. You know, for others, and God said, let the waters under the sea be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, you know. And God said, let there be light in the firmament. And what? And God made the two great lights. And God said, man, let the waters gather together. And God created the great seas. And God spoke, and everything that he gave us dominion of is what he, man, created from the earth. What? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth and over all the earth. All those things came from the earth that he gave us dominion over. And then he told us, man, he blessed us, you know. That word blessed there means empowered by God. I'm talking about, boy, God's approval on your life. You know, when a manufacturer of an automobile or a product, you know, when they complete the production of it and the making of that product, whatever it is, then one of the last thing it does, it put its name on it, you know, the name of the product and the name of the manufacturer. Whenever they put the name of it on the product, then that's the indication, man, that's their product. That product belongs to them. That product comes from them. They are the manufacturer of that product. And listen to this, you know, they also give you in that, when you buy that product, they give you a manual. And in that manual, man, they got a couple of things, a couple of pages on there that we most of us never read, you know. And that's the whole manual, the way you say it, and they tell you, before you start operating this product, then read this whole manual. And most of us, man, we don't do that, you know. And then it also gives us two important things that most of us don't read either. It gives us, man, a guarantee and a warranty. And it says that, you know, hey, listen, don't operate this product without reading the manual. And then in the guarantee and the warranty, say, listen, if anything happens to this product, don't take it to an authorized or unauthorized dealer. Send it back to us. And when you send it back to us, then what we would do is we will repair any man thing that's wrong with it. And listen, you ship it to us, and we'll pay for the shipping. And not only will we pay for the shipping, but, man, we'll pay to have it fixed. We'll pay to have it sent back to you. We'll pay, man, to make sure that this product works according to the way, man, we designed for it to work. Why they do that? And listen, in most manufacturers, they don't even know you. But, man, what's their hand? Their reputation. Their name that's on that product. So if you get a product, man, from the Sony company, and that product, man, to get in the malfunction and everything else, and you start having a whole bunch of problems with it, and you send it to unauthorized dealers, and before you know it, man, you know, the manufacturer of that product, their name is bad. Their reputation is bad. So, man, that messes up their whole business, man. People won't buy this product no more if they are always having problems with it. You know, and it don't work. So God guarantees, man, you know, just like the manufacturer do it, that what he made, he guaranteed that it worked, that it will work. Why? Because it's already tested. Even before he released it to the market, it's already tested. And not only do he guarantee that it works, but he also gives you a warranty. If anything happened to this product or anything, you know, or if you follow the instruction and everything else, then send it back to us at our cost. We will repair it at our cost. And we will send it back to you at our cost. Why? Because we want to guarantee and give you a warranty that this product works. But that's the same way it was. When God blessed them, that means he put his name on the product. You created it by God Incorporation. And God put his name on the product, on you. So if that product, man, malfunction and don't work and everything else, God say, don't take that to unauthorized dealer. Bring it back to me. That's what happened in our Bible. You know, God created us, men to work according to his perfect will and intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives. In Genesis chapter 3, the product began to malfunction. You know the story, man, how Adam and Eve disobeyed God and what God intended for their life, man, was disrupted. And they found themselves, man, out of the presence of the Lord into the wilderness, out in the barren land. And God said, man, to all of us, hey, listen, hey, don't take that to no unauthorized dealer. If anything happened in your life, then come to me. Bring all your trials, all your tribulation, all your malfunction, all your faults, all your mistakes, all your disobedience, you know. Hey, bring that back to the original manufacturer at the manufacturer's expense. And the manufacturer will repair and send it back to you at the manufacturer's expense. Well, that's what happened in our Bible. You know, if I could use that illustration, man, to help us understand, man, what happened in the Bible. In Genesis 1 and 2, God created a perfect product, and he blessed it. He put his name on it, his reputation. And, boy, he got to watch over his reputation, man. He got to watch to make sure that, he's a God of integrity. That's what holiness is, you know. That means he's a God of pure integrity. What he say, that's what's going to go. And he guarantees what he say. In fact, he got to watch over his word to perform it, to make sure that what he say works in our life. But if it ain't working and it stop working or it malfunctions, then God want us to bring that product, man, bring our lives, bring our everything back to him. That's why he tells me that we can come boldly to the throne of God's grace. And watch this. Don't just come boldly to the throne of God's grace, but obtain mercy and find grace to help us anytime we need. Why are you telling us all this, Brother Arthur? Because, man, the most important thing that God wants you to know and to come to the knowledge of and understand so that we can live life to the fullest, so that we can live a fulfilled life, is to understand, man, what God is doing, the manufacturer of mankind, the manufacturer of the earth, the manufacturer of everything that's upon the earth. You know, his desire is for us, man, to walk in the reality of that. And he spoke that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. His original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives. And what was it again? To have dominion over the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Then God blessed us. And then man told us, man, what to do with it, the dominion. He said, be fruitful. That's productive. Multiply. That means, man, you know, reproduce your productivity. Then he say, and replenish it. That means, man, extend it, man, expand it, man. And then he say, and subdue the earth. What that mean? That means corner the market. That means, man, subdue the market. That means, man, you know, to have control over the earth, over the market, over everything. He gave that to you and I, our assignment. What it was, man, be productive. Productive in what? And, man, producing, man, what he said. What he said? Be in my image, be in my likeness, and have dominion over the earth. So he say, be fruitful in there, produce that in your life. That's the seed. And then when you plant that seed into our hearts, into our lives, then, man, God saying, in doing that and planting and cultivating everything else, then you're going to produce the fruit of it. So in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and everything else, that's the seed of God's word that he gives to us. Now, the life, the fulfillment of that is in that seed. But in order for that seed to fulfill his potential, then, man, you got to plant that seed in the ground. And, man, you got to nourish that seed, and you got to watch over that seed, and you got to care for that seed, and you got to get the weeds and the bugs and all the things that come in and destroy that weather condition and everything else. You got to cultivate that seed. You got to watch over that seed. First, you got to plant it in your heart, and then you got to, man, you know, watch over it. Well, that's, man, being fruitful. Well, to take the seed of that word. What word? Be in God's image and be in my likeness, he said. And man, be fruitful and productive and subdue the earth and replenish the earth, you know. That's the seed. That's all that is, the seed. But in order for man that seed to reach its maximum potential and produce that in our lives, then man, you're gonna have to, man, you know, put that seed into your life. You got to plant that seed into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit. And in doing that, man, guess what's going to happen, man? Be not deceived. God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that's what he's going to reap. Why are you saying this, Arthur? Again, you know, I just wanted to give you that a little simple illustration and hope that you understand, you know, where we're going in this message, you know. God created the heavens and the earth, you know, and he created a world upon the earth, a pattern of operations, a system, his desire, his intent, his plan. That pattern of operation. What his intent and desire and plan was again, Brother Arthur, that it be on earth just like it is in hell. He said that you be fruitful, you multiply, you subdue, and you have dominion and authority over it. And you make it in your territory, the earth that I give you, you make it in your territory just like it is in the territory that you come from. Where we came from? We come from our Father in heaven. Because listen, remember what I said? Whenever God wants something, he decides what he wants first. Then he speaks what he wants. What he do? He decides what he wants for it. That's his original precept. That's his idea. That's his original idea. That's his thought. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking first. And then after he thinks, man, after he decides what he wants, then he speaks. And he speak what he want to what he want it made from. And when he speak what he want to what he want it made from, then what he wants come from what he want it made from, exactly what he said. So the animals come from the earth because he spoke to the earth. The trees come from the earth because he spoke to the earth. The grass come from the earth because he spoke to the earth. The fish come from the earth because he spoke to the water man that's on the earth, man. But when he wanted you and I, he spoke to himself. He said, let us, hallelujah, make man in our image and our likeness. And from him, just like man, from the earth came the plants, and from the earth came the animals, and from the earth came the trees, well, because he spoke to the earth. But boy, and he spoke to himself, he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So he'll become what he spoke what he wanted, to what he wanted made from. He spoke to himself. And from himself came you and I. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. Hallelujah. So, amen, you come from heaven. And he placed you up on the earth. And he placed you in an environment. That's why I say, as you understand Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he placed you in an environment and in an atmosphere and in a spot on the earth, man, that has an open door into the delightful place, the literal presence of the Lord. Where the Lord is, where our Father at? Our Father which art where? In heaven. What's the Garden of Eden that he set up on the earth? That's, man, an atmosphere and an environment, man, that's conducive and just exactly like, boy, heaven itself. So what God did, man, he put a spot on the earth. He planted the garden. He put the spot on the earth that's for a moment with an open door into all of the attributes, the character, the nature, the atmosphere, the environment of heaven. So what God did was he put heaven on earth, on a spot on the earth for a moment with an open door into the presence of the Lord. That's what God is doing. That's what God did. That's what he was doing in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And it is very important for you to understand those precepts so, man, you can know what the big picture is, what all them thousands of pieces that's in the box, that's in the puzzle, all these thousands and thousands of verses that's in the Bible, so that, man, you can understand it. And when you understand it, then you can chart your course towards your destination, man, yourself. Why? Because you understand, man, the end. From the beginning, you understand what the whole pieces and all them puzzles are. Even though you can't see it, man, you know in them thousand pieces, but you understand, man, what it is once it's all put together. And listen, man, if I was to give you a puzzle, and the top of that box had this on it, this was the picture at the top of the box. Can you imagine this? You living in heaven on earth. Listen, I'm gonna say that again. If I gave you a puzzle with 1,000 pieces in it, and then I gave you the box with the top on it, and on the top of that box, the picture that's on there is you created in the image and likeness of the Most High God, living forever and ever and ever on, man, heaven on earth, in that spot that God put on the earth, in that Garden of Eden, forever and ever and ever. The 1,000 or 2,000 pieces or 1,000 pieces of puzzle, when it's put together, that's what it looks like. What you in God's image and God's likeness, ruling and reigning over, man, everything that God gave you the authority to rule and reign over. You in heaven on earth. But that's the big picture that's on this Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's you living in heaven on earth. That's God's desire and God's will. That's God's desire and intent. For us, man, you know, I got a little distracted. But let me get back. You know, that's the big picture. The reason why I'm going into this in a little detail, you know, because, man, God wants us to understand, man, what's really going on and what this Bible is really all about so that you can chart your course towards your destination that God has for your life. Glory to God. So what God wants, man, you and I to come to the knowledge of, that he set up a world up on his earth. What the word world mean?
My phone keep going on. I don't understand.
Let me put my phone in.
Sorry.
Can you call it again? You still, isn't that on?
My phone is showing that it's running. I see it's still showing that it's running.
Must be in the radio station. I don't know if y'all can hear me or not. It looks like we're having a little technical difficulty here. And I think I'm not coming through. 1 second, please. I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to hang it up. No, I'm not hanging up. Hello? Put it back on. Hello? Okay. Hallelujah. We kind of got a little distracted a little bit. I think we had some technical difficulty. I don't know if it's in my phone or what. But anyway, you know, what I'm trying to relate to y'all. It's two worlds on one earth. You know, we got two worlds on one earth here, you know. The world that God established, that God arranged, that God set up, that God put up on this earth, man, and gave you and I dominion over it. In Genesis chapter 3, man, that world, man, and that concept and that idea of God, man, it got interrupted. And then another world, another pattern of operation, another system, man, was produced upon the earth, you know. And then, man, what it resulted in is, man, you know, God's original intent, God's original desire, God's original plan, and purpose for our lives, man, was disrupted. And, man, you know the story how the devil came in. And when the devil came in, he deceived Adam and Eve, got them out of the world that God had set up, the arrangement, the pattern of operation that God set up for their life, got them out of death, over into another world, another pattern of operation. At first, they were living in heaven on earth. And then, man, you know, after the devil deceived them, they found themselves living in the wilderness. When they were living in heaven on earth, man, they was under the governing influence of our Creator, our Father, the manufacturer. Something went wrong in the product, man, and the devil deceived them and got us out of the original world that God created us to live in Genesis 1 and 2, heaven on earth, in the Garden of Eden, being fruitful and multiplying and replenishing and subduing the earth. He got us out of that pattern of operation. Us making it on earth like it is in heaven, and man, rushes us into another pattern of operation, another system. That's what the word world means, a pattern of operation, a system, a way of living, a way of life. And so it was one world on earth at first, and that was the world that God created, heaven on earth, and there he placed us. The devil came in Genesis chapter 3, disrupted that plan, and man caused mankind to find himself out of the presence of the Lord, out of that arrangement, out of that pattern of operation, out of that means of ruling and reigning on the earth, over into the board, praising in what God called the wilderness. They put out of God of Eden and put into the wilderness. Now they're in another world, another pattern of operation, another system. And in that pattern of operation, and in that system of operation, man, they found themselves separated from God, separated from the Holy Spirit, separated from the purpose and plan and desire of God for their lives. Open to a man, a world that's created and set up and motivated, man, by the devil. And that's the world that you and I were born in and shaped in and born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So you got put out of the world that God created for you to live in, and we find ourselves living in the world that the devil created up on the earth. Now, mind me, in this world that the devil created up on the earth, that's good and evil. It ain't all evil. We got some good in it, too. Just enough good, man, to cover up the evil to where you don't see the evil in it, man. But listen, in spite of all that, man, God's still purpose, God's plan still going to change. That's what all them thousand pieces, man, once it got broken up, that's what became all them thousand pieces. But the purpose for them thousand people, why? Because, man, the system that God set up got broken, got cut into a thousand pieces and everything else. But, man, God's purpose still going to stand. What he say, man, I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel don't stand. I showed you the big picture first, what's on top of the box, man. You living in heaven on earth, ruling and reigning, man, over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life forever and ever and ever. That's the original world. Then, man, we lost that world. We lost that and everything else, that pattern of operation, and we find ourselves living in a world that the devil set up on this earth, the world that we live in now. It's not on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, let me just stop here, you know, because I have my son-in-law here with me, and I think we had some difficulties, and I got caught up in it, but we're going to continue in this. But I just want to, you know, allow him to just share with y'all, you know, for a few moments, you know, a few minutes, you know, until we get ready to close, you know, his views, you know, as far as, man, the kingdom of God. Because me and my family, we just have one assignment, and that assignment, man, is to go into all the world and, man, tell people, boy, about, boy, the governing system of God, the original world that God set up on the earth, so that we might have an understanding of death and understand why Jesus Christ came, and that was to put us back into that original world that we were designed and created to live in. Hey, my son is here, and his wife is here celebrating my wife's birthday, you know, this weekend, and I just want to open up the platform and give him the opportunity to just pour out of his heart, you know, his intent and his plan that God has for his life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, what's going on? It's always good to be able to be around in the presence and the vibe of speaking about our Father in heaven and what he has intended for us as a people. Because I was listening to what you were saying, and a couple of things popped up in my mind. You know, I got some visions. And one thing that was for certain is that there was not a single act needed from the created to be blessed and bestowed upon dominion, will, sovereignty, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't tell me that we're gonna keep running with the analogy of the 1,000 puzzle pieces, right?
Yeah.
Because it's dope. I like that. You got 1,000 pieces. Usually, a person who wants a more intricate plan of a puzzle, and they want more of a challenge in more detail, the best puzzles usually come from the most pieces that come in the box.
Uh-huh.
So with the precept, and I mean, we can go even further with the precept of the picture on the box, but the mindset of the king, or the maker of the puzzle, for and the purpose of why the maker wanted to make the puzzle in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it and we say, okay, and we look, that's why he invented the puzzle as intricately as possible to give the greatest amount of the highest, most potent relationship between the puzzle maker, and the one putting the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that relationship was in the beginning.
Yeah.
He already intended to have a deeper, more intricate, more complex, loving, more potent relationship with you and I before he even formed the dust of the earth. And so with that, just tracking, the first part of the manual, because the maker of the puzzle wanted the consumer, we can just call it consumer,
yeah,
or the receiver, right, the receiver, or the resource, we can use that, to really fully understand the mind. He not only gave the picture on the box, but he also gave the manual. But in the manual, every manual, the first part is called an index.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis, how he explains is like him saying, hey, look, let's go through the 1,000 pieces. This is what you should have in the box,
mm-hmm,
to ensure that what I did is setting you up for success to creating the picture that you see here.
Yeah.
So you go through and say, hey, these are the pieces of the puzzle. It should be 1,000 pieces, and they should look like this, and it breaks it down, right? So you can really go through, and the old school teaching that people would say is that, hey, if you ask for patience, God won't give you patience. He'll give you the opportunity to practice patience.
Yeah.
If you want you pray for focus, he won't just give you focus, he'll give you the opportunity to practice focus.
Yes.
If you want to learn how to manage better, God won't just teach, he won't just magically whisper management into you, but he'll give you the opportunity to manage better.
Yeah.
Why those three terms? Because that's what it takes: patience, focus, and management skills to be able to organize and compartmentalize according to the blueprint that was given to you. That the to go through each thousand pieces to make sure that all that you need is there before you begin your work.
Mm.
So the Father had already done so, and then I like when you said that that he takes his word very seriously. It's also written that God said himself, not some man, not some translation, God himself said, I put my word above my name.
No, no.
Hold on, wait a minute. You telling me the creator of all things, the creator of creation itself, the yeah. one that invented the law of liberty and life itself, said he put his word above his name?
No, no.
What kind of guarantee is that? What level of a guarantee? Did y'all catch that?
Hello.
Did y'all catch that? The word of God, that God put his word that he speaks above his name, his brand, his is what he is, what you can identify him as. And a lot of people look for the name, and that's dope. That's good. Hear his word. Seek his relationship with him to get his word, because his word is even, if that's what a warranty is in. It's in his word. It's an understanding in that. And you can only get his word through the relationship, and the relationship is a choice.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're standing here, right? We got the puzzle box. We uh-huh. got the picture on the box.
Uh-huh.
We excited because we know that we can do something good with it. We can see the amazing detail in the sky and the water, oceans. But you really don't get intimate with the imagery. You get intimate through the work. Of yeah. putting the pieces together, the process.
Yeah.
The process. You feel me? Like, so when you get this, you're doing a process of pieces, you got to sift through the pieces. And before you decide to get the, you pour the pieces out on a clear table, because you got to clear out the space that you want to use and hollow out. Hollow out means to carve out, for those of you who may not understand. So you hollow out a time, a space to be about a matter. The matter is the puzzle pieces, and you're trying to understand how to put these things together. You got the manual, you did your research, you did your index, and you took out the time and patience, and you made a space for the pieces that you haven't touched yet. You have a space that seems to be big enough to put all the pieces together, and you meticulously took your time being intimate with each piece you pick up, understanding, studying it, and then you start to realize the details within that thing, the better that you get at it, the better you see, the more pieces you pay attention to, the deeper the relationship between you and the maker of the puzzle becomes. The relationship in our lives and in our work is in the small details between the first two chapters in Genesis. In the last two chapters of Revelation, you look and you read and you start to understand the pieces through the index, and then you start to put the pieces together, because we're getting intimate with it, and I like it, because I used to say we're all broken glass trying to hold water.
Uh-huh.
Now I understand, because God and our Father made us whole, it is the illusion of us being broken. That's why the puzzle comes. It can come with all the pieces together.
Uh-huh.
But they made the original form in whole, and then and they broke the pieces apart.
Uh-huh.
But each edge of every puzzle piece is smooth and rounded and created to where it don't cut our hands when we touch them, for a reason. Yeah. So even in our brokenness, it has a pattern, a rhythm, a practice, a purpose.
Yeah.
And so when you look at through all the brokenness in these pages, that's why, especially in the Book of Kings, you have good kings, bad kings, broken kings, wise kings, foolish kings, and this, that, and the other, so you can understand the nature of self, to see, okay, well, these are the little pieces that I see, yeah. and God have round them up for the people, which is why the knowledge and wisdom does not allow us alone. We have to put in work even for that process.
Mm.
So we, in the choice to want to be more like our Father, to pick up our cross or take up our bed and walk, to heal in our brokenness, and put those pieces together, God and us, we take a time out and hollow out our space where it's quiet. Usually people put puzzles together in a quiet space to set the atmosphere right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They get the vibe going on, which means you pray and you meditate on his word day and night. You get there and go with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, Father, come in with me and help me put these pieces together according to your word.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. The wonder about it is this. It's simple. It's real simple. The one I learned that another thing that came across as we've been studying and stuff, mm-hmm. that where the lack of a purpose of a thing is known, abuse of it is inevitable, right? So when you was talking about putting the pieces together, there are sometimes you get tired and you just force a piece to try and fix, even though the colors don't match, even though the shapes don't match. This is supposed to be a dude, but you got the dog head on the on the human body because it don't match. It's out of place. It's out of order, disorder to separate from. And because we put that separation in, it adds more stress and it snowballs into more things in our own very lives. So when you go, you have to often get that picture, because people who also do puzzles sometimes when they get confused, they go back and get the box.
Yeah.
And they go put it up in front of them to look and go, oh, this piece don't look like that. Let me redo, repent, reshape, remold, remodel my thinking so I can put it back into place, so I can stop abusing, misusing these pieces to succeed at putting the puzzle pieces together so I can get the image manifested before me like I saw in the imprint of the precept, in the concept of the creator of the puzzle itself. Then I can fully understand why he made it the way he did, and what my purpose is. And then when I'm done with the puzzle, when it's all put together, then we can say, hey, most people, because they put in all the work, depending on how intimate they people are with their puzzles, they frame them.
Yeah.
They don't break it down again. They keep it whole. They frame it and protect it, and they put it up on their wall sometimes as a trophy. Like, look, this is what I have done. This is I understand. And then and when people come in the house,
the finished product.
Come on. They when the finished product is on the wall, some people come in, people usually say, hey, look at what I've done. Hey, let me show you this puzzle and the glory of what has been made through the process. And then they go and inspire others to take that same step, just like we're trying to do with you today.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
We see the finished product. We've seen the promised land. We've understood our Father's wishes as much as we could, and the glory of the imagery that he showed us. And we're trying to show it to you all.
Yeah.
All right. So we love you all, and hopefully you understand and took the words, and may your minds, hands, and feet be filled with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, profitable work and use, and the ordered steps to lead you toward the finished product that God already put in you and made you. And remember, you're not broken. That's an illusion. You were made whole, and you need to put the pieces together according to the mind of the maker, and I guarantee you'll see it and put frame it up on your wall and be an example of light for the rest of the world to see.
Hallelujah.
God bless you all, and we love you with more understanding than most people can understand, and even more can comprehend. And we hope and we pray that you become more of what you already are than what the world told you that you were not.
Amen. You know, to close in this, we got about a minute left, but to close everything out, man, I'll go on for us, for me, for all of us on the sound of my voice. He wants us to understand his precepts, you know, or what he's doing. He wants us to know the history of God, what he's doing, so that man and have understanding of it, so that we can live life to the fullness, so that we can live fulfilled lives, so that we can reach the destiny that God has for our lives. And I close with this, just the destiny that God has for our lives, that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven, you know. And all these pieces of the Bible, all these sermons, all these pieces, all these church services that we have is pieces of a puzzle, is a means to that end. But that boy, we get back into the original world, the world that God loved so much that he sent his only begotten son to reestablish that world back up on the earth, teach us how to live in, how to operate in it. What's that world on? The kingdom of heaven on earth. That's the world, that's the arrangement, that's the pattern that God set up on the earth and placed us in. We lost that in Adam's disobedience, and through Jesus Christ's obedience, it has been restored back to us so we can come back into the first world.
the world that God created us in and escape the corruption that's in this world that we live in now that we are born in sin and taken in this world. Jesus Christ has translated us out of that world back into the original world. What's the original world? You and God's image and God's likeness and doing and running on the earth forever and ever and ever. And you can start putting those pieces of that puzzle together in your life, knowing the definition. Look, my wife, Yel and I, my family, we love y'all with the love of the Lord, and we pray God's best for your life. Our time is up. We look forward to talking to you again.